Hey everybody, it's Nick Idanza here, and welcome to my first ever official exit interviews for Australian Survivor. I'm really excited to bring these to you, and I want to thank Channel 10 for giving me access, and I really hope that you enjoy hearing the insights that you might not really get to hear on the show. So today we've got three recordings. We've got Joan, then we're hearing what Adam had to say, and we're going to round it all out with Kate, and they're three really awesome interviews. Before we get to that, I just want to thank everyone who has subscribed. Thank everyone who's giving me these star ratings on iTunes, and also just for, you know, your general comments. I really enjoy hearing from you guys and what you think about the show. So hit me up on Twitter. I really would appreciate if you could follow me on Twitter and let me know what you think. It's so nice to hear from you guys from all over the world. So it's at Nick Iadanza on Twitter and on Instagram. Some cool stuff happening on Instagram this year with Survivor. So you won't miss out if you're all across it. And yeah, thank you so much. I think at the time of recording this, I'm number four on iTunes, which is just completely blows my mind. So thank you again, and I hope you enjoy. So here we go. Here is Joan. Joan, how are you? How are you feeling?
I'm good. I'm all right. Yeah, no, I'm feeling all sorts of emotions at the moment. It was a good first episode. I wish they extended it to like three episodes at the very least, like one whole episode just on the barge.
Yeah.
Because that was complete torture.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I feel like the audience really needed to see and feel what we were going through. But no, it was good. It was good to see it. It was good to come home. It's good to hear all the love from everyone. And I wish I could do it over, but, yeah. The tribe has spoken.
Yeah, that's right, Joan. Well, thank you so much for coming on. You're actually officially my first ever interview, so that's kind of cool distinction.
Yay!
I was so sad. I was really, really, I was your biggest fan going into the, and I still am, going into that first episode. You know, I just was so excited, you know, the escape room, you know, Cyclone Joan, all these things that like I as a fan love seeing. And how did you feel when you saw the commercials coming out that were saying like Cyclone Joan is coming? Like, what were your thought processes at that point?
I felt like, oh man, they're talking up a big game here. And there was a lot of cuts of me saying that, you know, I'm an escape roomer. And I think one of them was like me saying I'm a puzzle master.
Yeah.
So it was really nerve wracking because I obviously knew what was happening and what had happened. And, you know, going into the game, I wanted to go far and I really wanted to, you know, make my mark. You know, the turn of events happened and one thing led to the other. But when I was seeing all those promos, it was exciting. It was like, it was a bit nerve wracking, to be honest. It was like, oh my God, I hate hearing my own voice.
Tell me about it. Look, Joan, yeah. I think you should take it as a compliment because we all know that 21,000 people applied. You got on the show. And then of those people, you were someone that they wanted to highlight because I think you do have an electric personality and it's such a shame we didn't get to see more of that. So who knows? Who knows what will happen in the future, Joan? But I think there's another thing that you can take consolation in. You are in really great company with last year's first boot Dez, like an icon of the game. And now we have another icon of the game. Did you think about that at all out there, about what had happened last year and with us? And did you use that to kind of build a strategy?
Not really, no. I felt like the game players in each season were very, very different. In your season, I felt like, I don't know, it felt very not slow, but you know what
it
I mean?
Slow,
like
in my season, everyone you can say it, Joan. Okay. It was slow.
All right. At the start, everyone was it was very slow.
Yes.
And so there wasn't many people wanting to make moves or wasn't anyone trying to really, you know, take control or anything. Our season, it happened instantly.
Yeah.
Everyone was talking to everyone. People would go into the woods and say they were gonna collect firewood and coconuts and didn't come back with firewood and coconuts.
Yeah.
So we knew instantly like what was happening, who was talking to who. And, you know, Asango was all over the place in those first few days. So, and, you know, we obviously had to brace the weather and everything else. It is not fun continuously wet. Like, you're always wet. It was just, I don't know how you guys felt, but we were always wet. Like, it was just always raining.
Yeah, that's the thing I say is the hardest, that they're being wet. So I commend you for even going out there. And you could see the emotion in your eyes when you cried when you saw the fire. That's real. That's real
I
stuff.
We were so cold and hungry, and then and the fire came. I was like, yes, we can eat food. We can eat, drink water.
Yeah.
It was very emotional.
So tell me about, this thing came up about you slept well one night, and, you know, that's a rare thing to happen, but do you account that, not that people were jealous that you felt, or maybe they were, but was it because you missed the
conversation? Maybe they were.
Yeah. We never really got any confessionals of people saying that they were jealous that you slept, but you could see a few shifty glances. Do you think it's more that you missed out on those important conversations? And if so, which, can you pinpoint one or two?
Yeah, so I felt like having sleep, you know, getting that much sleep that I did. I slept from the sun down to sun up. I didn't really think much of it. I just went to sleep. Like, we were so exhausted.
Yeah.
We hadn't eaten. We hadn't slept since that 2 a.m. barge. So we, you know, get to the camp, and a few days in, I was just so tired, and I woke up and I was like, oh my God, it's morning already. And so when I went and spoke to Sam and Mark and, you know, Dad and Jerry were there, and Ben as well, they were around the fire. I didn't even realize that it would have made such a big impact. But I think the conversations I missed out on was really getting to know Sam.
Okay.
I felt like if I had gotten to talk to her and really just build that relationship with her, then that would have changed the course of my game.
Yeah.
I felt like Sam was the leader behind my vote, and her bringing up my name just got everyone else on board, because people are like, well, I don't know who to vote. We love everyone here. Let's just put a name out there. And for Sam to say, well, she says she's not good at cardio, and, you know, she slept all night and whatever it was.
It's what happens.
People are like, okay, cool. Yeah, as long as it's not me.
It's a petty game. It's a petty game, Joan. What did you think was going to happen that tribal council? Did you know you were going home, or did you still have a glimmer of hope that it was going to be go into it half-half? What was your thoughts?
I had a, like, I was counting the numbers in my head. I didn't know which way Luke was going to go, because Luke didn't confide in me. He told me, he was like, Joan, you're safe, don't worry. But you never really, you never really accept that, because you just don't know what people say to your face. I mean, Sarah straight out said, you're safe, Joan, it's fine.
Yeah.
So you never really can take them from, you know, take them truthfully. So in my mind, the numbers counted, and it was Luke for me.
Sure.
And so when I saw that there was a split, I was like, oh, I hope they're dumb enough to go to Rocks. I was just holding on to hope that they, you know, no one was going to flip, but Ben and Jerry were too scared to go to Rocks. So.
Ben and Jerry's
and
like the ice cream.
You know.
I like that. Sorry? I like that. Ben and Jerry's like the ice cream.
Oh, that's right. Ben and Jerry. I didn't even get that. Yeah, so Ben and Jerry got soft.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they flipped their vote.
Can you tell me
that's what happened. I wish I also talked to Henry a little bit. I feel like Henry and would have been someone that I could have worked with.
Can you tell me a little bit about Henry?
Ben,
Tell me a little bit about Henry and this whole yoga lie, because I bought it. I would have bought it hook, line, and sinker. And we saw some videos.
I bought it.
Yeah, we saw some videos on Template of him doing yoga. Was there any dissent amongst people that it wasn't real?
No, I mean, there was a little bit. Like, Luke brought it up, like, briefly with me. Luke and I were talking, and I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited for this yoga, because I do yoga. And Luke's like, imagine he actually wasn't, and he was just faking it. And we just laughed it off. We're like, haha, that'd be hilarious. And so we never really talked about it after. So we did this yoga class. But as I was doing the yoga class, I'm thinking, wait a minute, this isn't yoga. These are sports exercises. But it still wasn't enough for me to say, well, you know, he looks the part. He talks the part. And so I was just thinking, man, I wish my yoga instructors looked like this. Namaste to you.
Namaste. He's got the man bun. If you've got the man bun, no one can question it, can they?
Absolutely. The man bun is what ties the whole look together.
Exactly.
Without that man bun, you could be anything.
Tell me about this puzzle. So, you know, it is a shame that, you know, the escape room owner, you know, you weren't able to bring the puzzle together. But I want to defend you, Joan, because I've been out there and I do puzzles all the time. But then when you're out there and you've got all the cameras and everyone's watching you, and you know that, you know, that this is do or die, it really does change. It does change the dynamic. So I do want to give you props.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, people underestimate how difficult it is doing a puzzle with one other person trying to do a puzzle as well. So Joan, I hear you. I feel you.
Well, you did really well on your season. So, I mean, hats off to you, Nick, for being a badass in those puzzle challenges. But what happened was, you know, I wasn't even relying on Ken. In my mind, it was just me working that puzzle. I don't know if you look back at the clip, I was close. I think I was about 3 pieces or 4 pieces away from finishing, but the other tribe were just faster.
Yeah.
And it is luck. Like a lot of it comes down to luck. Like if you fit the right piece at the right time,
that's right,
then, you know, obviously you've got the right pieces in place. I couldn't even make out what it was. I mean, in the back of my mind, I knew it was the idol, but I still couldn't see it physically. Being up close to the puzzle, I was just trying to work off matching the grooves with each puzzle.
It was a tricky puzzle. It was a tricky puzzle.
It was really tricky. It was such a hard puzzle. And I mean, obviously, I design puzzles for a living. I'm such a fan of the show, and I know that it was going to be hard going into it, but it really was under the cameras with my tribe yelling at me. At some point, I think I blanked out, and I just couldn't get there in time.
Well, Joan, so, this is what we'll do, yeah. Joan. You and I. An escape room one day. I have a feeling you'll wipe the floor with me, and then you can say you've beaten a survivor in a puzzle. How do you feel about that?
That'd be awesome.
Awesome. Well, Joan, thank you so much for coming on and chatting to the fans. Everyone wanted to hear your take, and I want you to just, you know, congratulate yourself on making it out that far and for being such a memorable character. And would you do it again, Joan? Last question. I hated people asking me that question, so I'm going to ask it to you. Would you do it again?
Oh, probably not. It was hard.
I like it.
It was really tough.
Yeah. Well, Joan, thank you so much. Good luck, and please stay in touch.
Thanks, Nick. Have a good day.
Thanks, Joan. Bye.
Bye.
All right, guys. Great chat there with Joan. I really loved hearing her. It's such a shame that she was the first boot. I think she had so much more potential in her. So that's just the way the game goes. But the next interview we have here is with another huge Survivor super fan, someone who follows the show quite heavily, and both the American and the Australian version. And he seems to know a little bit about in other international versions of the show as well. So hope you enjoy my chat with Adam. Adam, how are you going? How are you feeling?
Hey, Nick. Good, mate. Good to be here. Thanks for having us.
No, thank you. Thank you for coming on. And it's my, as I just said to Joan, this is my first time interviewing people. So forgive any flaws or any stupidity on my behalf. But thank you for being part of this historic moment for my podcast. And talk to me. How are you feeling after an epic week of Australian Survivor Season 2?
Yeah, great, mate. Great. Look, it's obviously very disappointing with as far as how early I'm out. That was not the intention, nor what I was setting up out there on the island with a bunch of others. But you know what? I had a fair bit of luck not going my way, and that can happen in this game. And I'm out here talking to you.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think one of the big questions that people want to know is, do you actually own a Velcro wallet?
That was a classic one. I love that. it's so good because it typifies who AK is, someone that, you know, loves the game, knows that those tribal council comments to camera at the end are, you know, there's been some great people deliver some funny lines over the years, and I'm sure he's been working on that for more than 1 year himself, and he's got a chance to deliver it. So, good on him.
I reckon that no matter who it was that he was voting for was getting that line. Oh, so.
It was in the toolkit ready to go. I'm sure he's got 20 others that he's ready to spin out as well.
Oh, God. Adam, you know, watching you, I loved it. I thought you had that right level of scheminess. You had the heart. You know, we're talking about your family and stuff. I just felt so bad watching it kind of implode as someone who has also been out there and imploded. Tell me, what do you think is the single biggest factor in your demise? If you had to pinpoint it to one moment, one element, what was it?
Not finding the idol, mate. That would be the everything changes if the whole show changes. What you're watching right now is completely different to how it unfolds if I find that idol.
Yeah.
So there's a cycle. What didn't get shown on camera was there was a cyclone over Noumea when we were out there in Samoa, and we caught the brunt of that one night. Basically, for almost 24 hours, it was like cyclonic conditions, and we had just got our fire started as well, but the flint had basically broken. So we really had to keep that fire alight. Otherwise, there's no food, no water, and you know what that's like. So
yeah.
we spent a whole 12 hours at least with a palm frond over our backs, hovering over the fire, just with the palm frond in our backs for 12 hours in a cyclone, just to try and keep the fire alight. What that also meant that when I had to go and then try and find that idol, there was just mud everywhere, and you were just digging up clumps and clumps of mud. It was, so when I've dug that up, obviously I've flicked it behind me at some stage there, and you know, the clue says at the base of a tree, so you're not really going to look behind you. You're kind of looking down at the base of the tree, putting your hand in any holes.
Like, how did you feel? How did you feel watching that on TV and you could see it so close?
Oh, mate, it's really disappointing, to be honest. It's. I mean, you laugh about it now. It's all good. It's a game and it's funny and it's, you know, it's cool that AK, you know, of all people found it after. It makes a great TV, but so disappointing as a player and someone who loves the game, because the way I had that tribe set up, it was all ready to rock and roll.
Like,
we were ready to take the other tribe, obviously, not only the other tribe, but the other six on our tribe or five on our tribe right down. So you find that idol, and that's definitely a completely different game that you're watching now on TV with, you know, Tarzan last, you know, a very, very long time, which, who knows, like, how long his life is now in the game, because he's on the outs of sorts, and Tess and Kate, they're all, you know, all this are in a much stronger position than what they appear to be right now.
Do you feel that AK, you know, you and AK now will always be inextricably linked because of what happened in the episode. Do you feel that him putting himself in a bad spot in that first episode was all his doing, or do you feel that there's anything that you can attribute to your game that put him in that position?
One of the strategies I had going out there was, if anyone was going to put themselves in a slightly bad light, I was definitely going to put fuel on the fire and exemplify their bad characteristics or bad positioning or aggressive gameplay or whatever it might be. I was definitely going to put fuel on the fire. So when AK went out there and just basically started self-imploding, he was a hurricane coming through camp. Like, some of the stuff that he was saying and doing, we were all just sitting back, basically grabbing popcorn, watching him and just laughing, thinking, what's he going to do next?
Yeah.
Like, it was just hilarious. And it's you see it time and time again on Survivor, where you get these fans, and I'm a fan of the show too, but you see it where you get these people come out who are really just excitable, and they just want to do everything they've seen over the last 20 years in Survivor.
Adam, you're talking to one of them.
I want to do it in a week.
You're talking to one of them.
No, you're a little bit different. You're different than AK, that's for sure. But, you know, he'd stayed there for 20 years and he wanted to basically run every play he had seen and run them all in 3 days. So it was just kind of full on.
Yeah. Talk to me about the idol clue. I loved you sending Ziggy away. I thought you should get real credit for that. That was a great decoy. And the fact that she did it speaks to your positive position in the tribe at that point. Talk to me about why you decided to go off and search for the idol in plain sight. Because as someone who's been out there, one of the things that never translates is how difficult it is to get away from camp. Talk to me about why you chose that moment, because there was obviously shelter building on at the time, etc.
Yeah, look, there's a few things that you don't really see on camera, which, due to editing, it is what it is. But basically, 3/4 of the tribe knew about the clue anyway. So it wasn't like as if it was a secret that the idol was over there. What we wanted to do, especially my title answers, we just wanted to secure it and have it in our hands so we knew exactly where the idol was and make sure that it wasn't in particularly AK's hands, because at that point in time, probably, you know, 75-80% of us knew that AK had to go. So the numbers were huge. It was going to be a whitewash as far as voting was concerned. We just need to secure the idol. So it wasn't really an issue in any of us finding it. We just wanted to make sure it didn't fall into his hand. So it wasn't like a typical search for an idol where you had to kind of do it on the fly. The other issue is the island was, there was no way in the world you're ever going to get across that island unseen. It was right in front of where our tribe was.
Yeah, I can vouch for that. That's
very limited.
Yeah, I can vouch for that. That used to be our tribe. So yes, that you're 100% true about that.
Yeah, and you only had limited windows of when you were allowed to go across there as well, due to currents and high and low tide. So but it wasn't like you could go over there at any stage of the morning, day or night and go and get it secretly. You only had very limited windows of when we were allowed across there as well, based on conditions. So at home, you wouldn't know all that stuff, and it looks very obvious to say, hey, why didn't you do it when no one was watching?
Yeah.
But you just don't have that ability when you actually got the conditions that you're handed out there or when you're allowed to go across. So it's not as easy as or as straightforward as it may look on TV.
That's right.
But at that point in time, it didn't really matter, because three quarters of the tribe knew about it and really just wanted to secure it that wasn't in his hands.
So yeah, look, I understand.
Maybe what you think.
I understand. It was the same last year with me. You just want it out of the person that you want to go's hands. And how did you feel the frustration? Explain to me the frustration of explaining to Tara and Kate and Ziggy of them helping you, because I believe that the idea of what you were posing was correct. The delivery was incorrect. And I say that because I was in the exact same position, same idea, just the bad delivery. How do you feel? What would you have done differently in that moment, now that you've had some time to think about it, to try and get that working in your favor?
Yeah, look, 100%. I guess I agree completely that the delivery, now knowing how upset Tara got by the delivery of it, definitely in hindsight, you'd change that with her. You've got to remember, she wasn't the only one that I delivered that line to, but she's the only one that reacted that way.
Yeah.
So it's also about knowing your audience. And at that point, we're only 3 or 4 days in, and I obviously didn't have a good enough understanding of how Tara would react when I called her on her loyalty to the Alliance. So I didn't realise that she would get so emotional about it. I approached her a couple of times after that to try and talk to her about it, and she just wouldn't even talk to me. She wouldn't even speak to me the whole rest of the day. So it was kind of like, wow, she's just flipped, like emotionally and literally. So
another moment
go for it.
Well, I was going to say another moment that stood out was the moment with Lockie and Ziggy on the island when you were searching and they'd found the string and you say, you know, just vote me out. Now, I'm sure there was more to that convo, but what was your intention with that exact line? Were you trying to draw votes to you? Were you trying to draw votes away? What was your thought process?
Yeah, so what, again, didn't get said on telly is that Ziggy and I were in a really tight two-team alliance. So her and I were super close right on our first, 4 or 5 days, we had made commitments to each other and we were tight. So that was my, number one person I wanted to work with out there. And then there was another 4 or 5 others that we had in our life too. So part of me saying that was to show Zig that there's no one in the world that I'd obviously want to go home. So I had in some way in the very last ditch effort when they're basically not trusting that I didn't have the idol, they weren't sure whether they were getting played or not. No one in their right mind is ever going to want out of a game they love so much. So it was basically an attempt to show them I'm being ultra genuine here with you. Like, if you honestly believe I've got it and I'm playing, you then vote me out. Like, that's how genuine I'm being with you guys. And I even said to them, sitting that camera, you're more than welcome when we get back to tribe to empty out my bag to try and flush an idol out of that. Or when we go to tribal council before we vote, if you want to flush mine and AK's bags and our pockets to see who's holding it, then get that proof that you're looking for. But it was just to court that comment about I'm being genuine with you guys, like vote me out if you think I'm not, and I'm happy to back my word by emptying my bag out and showing you guys that in my pockets at tribal council in front of Jeff, in front of Jonathan, in front of everyone else about my genuine nature. And I'm sure that you won't get the same response from AK if you ask him to do the same thing, obviously, because he's going to be hiding something.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they didn't air that, nor did they actually
follow up
for both of their NPR stuff. Yeah, which would have outed AK then and there before the vote.
Sure.
Unfortunately, it didn't play out.
Sure. Adam, just real few quick questions, real rapid fire. What did you think was going to happen that night at Tribal Council, just really quickly?
That I was done home.
Oh, you did. Okay, cool. And what is it about this poker player archetype that just does not translate well to the game of Survivor? Because on paper, it seems to be something that is going to work really well, but it doesn't ever translate other than maybe Jean Robert making the merge. Any ideas?
Well, you can actually look at the international games of Survivor. It was poker players actually won the whole thing.
Well, there you go.
Look, I actually disagree, mate. Like, if I find that idol, we have a 6-strong, really tight alliance, and then we actually take out Lockie, Annalise, Amy, and AK, and we run the game. So, in actual fact, we had it all right. If it just didn't, if I found that idol, we had them in control. There's no disagreement with Tara on the beach. And obviously, because we got the idol, and then our tight system takes over the tribe. And what we're watching now is
it's a shame, Adam, because I really enjoyed watching you. I think you had such a great feel for the game. And it's always sad to see a fan go early. You said in pre-game press that you would play better than anyone in season one. How do you feel now knowing that you came second?
Mate, I have to eat my words. I did terrible, and I can't claim to follow through with that. So, mate, I
Adam,
was.
No,
pretty awful out there.
You didn't do terrible. I think there are plenty of people in season one who made it further than you who played much worse. So you can hang your hat on the fact that you were a great player and that you were someone who definitely had an impact on the game. So, Adam, last question. Are you still a fan? Yeah. Are you always going to be watching, or has this experience turned you away from the show?
No, I've watched for over 20 years. This ain't going to stop me.
Excellent. Love your work. Thank you so much, Adam, and please stay in touch as the season goes on. Thanks for speaking to me. Cheers.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. That's my chat with Adam, second boot. Such a shame again to see him go, another big fan. But while he was on the show, he definitely burned brightly. So our final chat for the for today is my chat with Kate. And I think she's someone who definitely was underserved by the edit in the first few days and someone who I think you're going to really enjoy hearing from. So here's my chat with Kate. Kate, how are you going?
I'm well, thanks, Nick. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you so much for jumping on. It's my first time interviewing people, so please ignore any of the errors, which I'm undoubtedly about to make. But how are you feeling? It was an epic first week, and you had such a great episode in episode 3. Tell me all about it. How are you feeling?
Well, I think, you know, having 3 episodes in 1 week, right, you've got the big rise of the premiere, which was so exciting because I think, you know, coming off season 1, there was so much anticipation into season 2, and I think it lived up for it.
Definitely.
I think those challenges, I think the weather was just so intense. So it was the premiere, and then it was building an alliance, which looked really solid, and seeing it crumbling pretty quickly and being booted off. So, yes, it was a lot.
You've really gone through the ringer there in your 9 days. No one can say you didn't get the full Survivor experience in a short period of time. Talk to me about your motivations to be on the show, because a lot of, like, I think what appeals you to the audience came through in episode 3, when we can see that you're this physical threat. You're someone who knows how to talk to people. You've clearly got your finger on the pulse of the game. Did you feel that was what you wanted to contribute to the show and what motivated you to apply in the first place?
Yeah, so I mean, I've been watching the show for 15 years since my daughter was born in New York.
Right.
So I've followed the show and seen it evolve. Then season 1, my kids got involved, and my husband was really keen to apply. So the kids said, "Well, we'll do it for you." So Jake and Olivia, my 15-year-old daughter and 13-year-old son, they put together my 3-minute pitch video, and they did an awesome job. And they kicked it out of the park.
Clearly.
When you've got your own children, teenagers, saying, "I think you can do it, Mum," there's only one thing you can do, but step up and be brave. So, no, I'm not a super fan that sits back, and it was my dying ambition to be on Survivor. However, I just love the show. I think it brings out, you know, the strength that you have to have physically, emotionally, and strategically. And I stepped up for the challenge.
You certainly did. Look, when I went through your bios, or going through the bios before the show, you get so little information. You get a still photograph, and you get like five lines. And when I was going through that, I just knew that there would be more. And I think in my pre-game interview, and no disrespect, but I think I likened you to Kate in the fact that when I first saw Kate from season 1, I thought, she looks completely normal. We all are psychotic, clearly. This person is far too normal to be on Survivor, and there must be more to this story. And what I learned with Kate last year is that there always is much, much more, and there's always more once you scratch the surface. And then she had this amazing story, and I feel that we started to see that with you in episode 3, and I was so hoping that we could have seen some more. So what did you wish that could have come out a little bit more on the show had you lasted a bit longer, or
I think the sense of building alliances. I really do think if you're older on the show, you've got a little bit of headwind because, as you know, the social element is so vital, especially in that initial stages.
Tell me about it, Kate. That's something I don't have.
And especially when there's 12 on the tribe, right? That's a lot of people to get around. But I think Tessa made a reference, and also Adam, we were looking for a stable alliance, you know, somewhere where we could just have some calm. And I wanted the havoc to, you know, the cyclone of AK or whoever. I think that was actually going to be how I would make it through the first piece, with other people blowing up in front of me. But unfortunately, Adam, he panicked. I did say to Adam when he found the idle clue, "Don't do anything. Sit tight, because AK will write his own destiny.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, Adam really wanted to look for it. And I think in the game, what I wanted to bring was to show the judgment. And often doing nothing is a really great thing in Survivor. It's
yes.
When you actually, you know, you be calm and when do you create some havoc. And that's what I wanted to bring.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, you know, you've got to build an alliance that wants to play around with that too. But I think Tessa and I were definitely, you know, on that focus.
So
really just bring some rational thoughts.
Yeah, you could definitely see that. And I thought your pitch to AK was absolutely great. It wasn't forceful and it just kind of like put the logic, but also the emotion as well came through enough. Did you think that pitch would work? Did you go into Tribal Council at all thinking that you had AK's backing?
No, because it was a numbers game at that point. Why was he going to risk it?
Sure.
He could, and I really would sit back and watch. I'm not sure he didn't listen to me.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the right time.
Yeah.
And in fact, said that, as you know, you have people drop ideas into your mind and you think, okay, I'm not going to action that right now, but I might action it later.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't underestimate what I said and the plot that, you know, Tessa and I had if it does play out.
Ooh,
I don't know.
Excellent.
But I wouldn't cross it off at the list yet because it stirs ideas. You know, Nick,
yes.
You were there, you know what it does.
Tell me about it. Look, we all saw me self-employed last year, so the mind does crazy things. Going into that tribal council, it seemed like they were aiming for a split vote with you, Tessa, and Tarzan voting three and then them voting four and four. And tell me if I've got this right, but was it Tarzan that flipped, that tipped them over the edge? And if he hadn't have flipped, what do you think would have happened on that tie vote?
Yeah, it's really interesting because, I think two things. Tessa brought a lot of emotion to Tribal and I didn't feel as emotional with Tara. I mean, flipping is part of Survivor. You know, you make a move, you make a flip and it doesn't – I thought it was semantic.
Yeah.
My view is that you've just got to be tight on your alliance. What wasn't played out is Tarzan and I were very close.
Sure.
What I think happened was that Tarzan wanted to one-up Lockie.
Yes,
and show him that he could control the game, and it became about male egos, and I was just a victim to that.
Right.
So you saw Lockie wanted to say, yes, get Tessa, and Tarzan thought, well, I'll show you, Lockie. I'll go against my own tribe, and I'll just mix it up some. So Tarzan wanted to write a bit of a story for himself. Obviously, I'm the victim in that, which is not perfect.
No.
But I think that's exactly what happened.
So
it would be interesting if he had stayed with us and they had equaled, I think he probably would have flipped again and he probably would have voted me out. You know, he would have done it the second time around.
Right. And what do you think about the whole flipping thing? I want to hear it from you. You seem like such an eloquent person, someone who really understands what was happening out there, just was a victim of circumstance. You tell me, was Tara a flipper? Is what she did flipping?
Yeah. I don't have a problem with flipping.
Yeah.
Like, that's my point. So, yes, we were in some – you've got to remember, you know, Nick, that initial alliance when you're in that first 5 days is pretty loose.
Yes.
You know, you've said yes to three people. You've said no to others. You know, you're just sussing out. And, yeah, we were in, an alliance with Ziggy, Adam, Tessa, Tara, myself.
Mm-hmm.
But the way Adam spoke to her, she was done. And Ziggy as well, really, because the other piece, we haven't even looked at Ziggy. We had a loose alliance. Ziggy moved very quickly as well.
That's what I wanted to say. Ziggy seems to me like the free element in here that didn't get any of the heat that Tara did, and she seems to have jumped over as well. So in that moment when it was Adam talking to Tara, yourself, and Ziggy, and what was your view on that moment?
I felt like I was back in corporate world, Nick. I've seen it all before.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Where males have a need to really bring their emotion to the conversation and they want evidence that you're with them.
Yep.
And that's what Adam wanted to do. Females don't need that.
Yeah,
females,
that's a really good
words.
Point.
And look at the difference. That's what Tessa was upset with Tara about, the conversation she had with her.
Sure.
Whereas Adam was upset with Tara because she didn't do something. You know, it's very male-female. And I know it's a generalization, but it was pretty well played out in that scenario.
I think you're onto something there, Kay.
I've heard people talk like that before from an Adam sort of, you know, that when they go into that panic, they're searching for evidence for them. Tara was like, screw that, I'm not going to be spoken to like that. And I think Ziggy thought, wait a minute, the alliance is falling apart. I better get sorted and tighten up my role. So they both did it in different ways, but that's the game.
Yep.
People flip.
Absolutely.
The whole time.
Absolutely.
The one thing.
Sorry, go. No, you tell me. Go.
No, the one thing I was never going to flip was that how I said I was going to vote going into a tribal, I was always going to vote like that. That was sort of one of my sacred rules, because I think that demonstrated your faith in your whoever your alliance was at that time. But outside of that, I think everyone flips.
Yeah, for sure. That's actually a really good segue into my next question. And I don't want to bring it back to my season, but I was in a very similar situation to you. When I moved to Sanapu, I was with Tegan, and I knew that it was going to be a split. And had I voted for Tegan, she definitely would have gone home. But I had told everyone that I wouldn't. And then afterwards, I copped a lot of heat from people saying, why did you risk that? Why would you not just put a vote on Tegan? Did you ever consider just chucking a vote on Tessa to make sure that you were going home? You've said no, but is that something that, the little devil on your shoulder came out and said, should I do it? Shouldn't I do it?
I just don't have that bit in me.
Yeah.
A bit like you know, and my daughter watching it back, she's like, Mom, you're crazy. You should have voted for Tessa. So I had my number one coach advising me post-game. I should have, but I'm comfortable because even, if I had have stayed, to me, that was evidence to an AK.
Exactly.
But I'm true to my word.
Exactly. And that's what you need to remember, and that's how you can go out knowing you had no regrets because you had a plan moving forward. I got one last question for you, Kay, and I think it's a big one. It's probably the most important one that we're going to cover. You ready?
Yep.
Why don't you eat fast food?
Oh, we had plenty of conversations. I think that was the quote of the episode, actually. I just don't eat that much food.
Okay, and a follow-up question. Had you won a reward and there was Hungry Jack's or KFC on the line, would you have eaten it out there?
I would have eaten it.
Okay,
and you know
good,
what? I would have loved it. Give me any fried food and it would have been fantastic. But I was in awe of all those guys who could recite the Hungry Jack's or fast food menu.
Yes.
I'm like, what? So hence, AK not building trust in anyone who doesn't eat fast food.
There we go. He's
very good on his quote.
Well, Kate, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us and demystifying some of the things that the fans wanted to know. I really appreciate you coming on, and I think that you were so fun to watch and you showed a real tenacity that we don't really see. Certainly, we didn't see a lot of last year, and I think that players could definitely learn about some stuff there about the male-female roles in Survivor. I think that's really insightful. So thank you.
Thanks so much. And great to talk to you, Nick. And let's all keep watching.
Sounds good. Stay in touch. Thanks, Kate. Bye.
Bye.
All right, guys, there you have it. I hope you enjoyed those. And like I said, it's something that I'm really thankful for Channel 10 for giving us access, and we'll be bringing those every week. The schedule might change up a little. I'm thinking now that we go to two episodes next week, it'll be a little bit earlier in the week. So stay tuned for that. And like I said, follow me on Twitter at Nick Iadanza and on Instagram, and let me know your thoughts on these exit interviews because, like I said, it's the first interview I've ever done, and I hope it gave you something interesting about another layer of the first week of Australian Survivor. So, all right, everybody, take care, and I will see you next week with a very special guest, the one and only Des Quilty. So looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say about next week. Hit me up in the comments and on Twitter. Thanks, guys. Bye.